I am now going to call to the Zoom space Deborah Kent Stein to who's our bell coordinator. And she, I believe, has several people with her to who participated in the Bell in Home this summer, which was the virtual Braille enrichment literacy and learning. So Debbie, if you are here, please raise your hand. Okay, so Pam can invite you to unmute.
You should have an invitation, Debbie, so you can unmute. There you go.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, and I want to check if Liza Yeager and Charlie are in the room, and also Jennifer Howe and Thomas.
If you all would please raise your hands. Okay, Thomas has raised his hand.
Got it.
And how about Lisa and Charlie?
And Liza, she's just raised her hand. Liza has raised her
Okay.
hand.
Okay.
So everybody should be getting an invitation to unmute, so that you just mentioned.
Okay, so last January, I went to Baltimore for a weekend-long meeting of Bell coordinators, and I brought home reams of notes about all the ideas of things that we were going to do in our Bell Academy, and talked to people from all over the country and got ideas, and it was all about what we were going to do in our face-to-face Bell Academy that would build upon what we had done in previous years. All of a sudden, in March, COVID hit. By May, it was very clear that we weren't going to be able to do a face-to-face Bell Academy. Was Bell going to happen at all? There was lots of hand-wringing and despair, and then resilience took over, and Karen Anderson and the team at the National Center, on 6 weeks' notice, put together the program that they called Bell In-Home Academy. It ended up, we had three programs during the course of the summer, three 2-week programs, and the children were sent boxes of materials that they would be able to work with at home with the help of parents and also volunteers who were NFB members who contacted them on a daily basis to check in. How's it going? What did you learn? What can we help you with? So we created a Bell experience that was in many ways very different from what we had done in previous summers. And yet, in some ways, it was very similar because it was a way for families to connect with one another through Zoom sessions. It was a way for the kids to interact with some blind adult volunteers and a way for the kids to get some intensive Braille and tactile learning experiences. So, two of the kids who went through our Bell programs are with us and have agreed to talk a little about their experiences. And parents are more than welcome to pitch in and ask
That's
some key
great.
questions and tell us a little about how it went. So, let me start with Charlie and Lisa. Charlie, can you tell us anything about what you did last summer in Bell?
Hi, we used to take the bus and the metro train.
Well, that's when we went to Bell that was at the lighthouse, at the Chicago Lighthouse. But what did you do last summer?
Startled by the air break.
Yeah, but this time, Charlie, remember, what was your first experience with the Bell? What did you get in the mail?
NFB.
It was a box full of NFB materials, right?
Right. And we had to get some foam.
Foam? So what did you make with the foam?
But we need the germinating activity, right? The watering the plant. You watch the plant grow.
Did you plant sunflower seeds?
Yes. And they're growing.
You still have them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can grow really tall.
Yeah, we planted outside in the yard, right?
Right.
Right. So, Charlie, can you tell everybody who was your mentor?
Alex
Camino?
Yeah.
So what did you guys do? Did you guys talk often? What did you guys talk about?
We talked about stuff for the Bell Academy.
For instance.
Yeah, for instance.
What's something you talked about?
I talked about so many things, for instance, for the Bell Academy.
Did you work on your Braille reading?
Yes.
Did you and Alex read together?
Yeah. And when Alex wanted to be with me at my house, I got the word octopus right.
Wow, that's a long word.
And I didn't give up.
Good. That's important.
And I have to not, same in Jeopardy, do not get discouraged if you do not know some of the clues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Charlie, what else did you like? You loved the videos, right? We watched all the videos over and over, and you loved the videos from Bell. It was fun.
Yeah.
What were the videos about?
About the Bell Academy.
Did you have chat sessions where you got together with some of the other kids and the families that were in Bell Academy?
Yes.
Was that fun?
Yes.
That's great, Charlie.
Cool.
Well, are you going to say thank you, NFB?
Thank you, NFB.
Oh, you're welcome. How about Thomas Howe? What was your Bell Academy experience like?
It was definitely really fun. I liked all the different crafts that we were able to do. And the germination of the sunflower seeds was also pretty fun.
Did you work on your Braille skills?
Yeah, we used the flashcards. We tried to do it as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And just do different flashcard set.
Uh-huh.
At night, and tried to improve my reading rate and accuracy with those different contractions.
Yeah, that's good. Do you think it helped you? Do you think it helped improve your reading?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Everybody's going to get to hear you read tomorrow in Braille is Beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Mom, do you have anything you'd like to add about the Bell experience doing it at home?
It was definitely exciting getting the box. That was probably, he was very excited. The Christmas box.
Right. In the middle of July.
Right. Yeah. Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Yeah. We still use some of the flashcards to review stuff. He loves crafts. So he did all those crafts. What are you playing with now?
You're making musical instruments?
Yeah.
Yeah. The rain stick and noise maker.
Uh-huh. Oh, you got it right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And just fun when he did the social time in the afternoon, that was nice. He just got to talk with friends and they read books together.
Yeah.
And he can do it from anywhere, which is kind of nice. We went and visited my mom during the summer, so he was doing it, you know, in Atlanta.
Oh, okay. And didn't you also team up with one of his friends from Bell from Riker. Other summers with Riker?
Yep. He came over one day for Bell and they did the activities together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that made it more fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I hope this summer that we'll be able to be in person again. That would be wonderful. Yeah. We'll all really appreciate it.
Yeah, we miss Miss Amy.
Yeah.
But it was a really nice experience. We were really surprised how well it worked. Definitely the box was the highlight of Charlie's.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Did you take everything all out at once or did you sort of spread it out?
Oh, he took it all at once, right, Charlie? Was really excited to go through every item. And So really thoughtful of you.
I have band.
Oh, yeah? Yes. Well, music was part of the theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear that band. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I think that gives people at least a little idea of what Bell was like last summer.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Debbie or the parents or the kids about virtual Bell program this past summer? I thought Sydney had a question, but it looks like she's raising her hand. And so is Kathy Randall. And so is Juliet. So I'm not sure what Kathy wants to do, but Sydney has raised her hand and so has Juliet Walker.
Okay, Sydney, are you muted?
Yay! Oh, sorry. This question is a little unrelated, but is Raven Wilson here?
She has been in and out. We will try to connect you guys at a later time.
Okay, because she was my clinical student at school. So if she comes back in the meeting, I would like you to tell her to say hi to me, okay?
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay, but right now we're talking about Bell.
All right. Oh, is this the general session or what?
This is general session right now.
Yes.
Oh, whoops, sorry.
Okay.
All right. I believe Juliet.
Oh, Juliet.
Yes.
Okay. You know what? This program sounds absolutely wonderful. I'm just listening to the children's responses. Charlie, I'm trying to learn Braille right now, and you're doing way better than I am if you can read the word afterpuff. So I'm so proud of you with that. And Thomas, I saw your rain stick. Oh, my God. That was absolutely beautiful. So I would like to get some information from you, Debbie, if possible, on how I could possibly be a part of this. If not, just to be a supporter.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, you all have a great evening.
Teaching background, that you could be a great resource.
Ellen, I would thank like you. To say something if I can, because I can't raise my hand.
Oh, Ellen. Yeah, hi.
So.
Yeah, you were one of our volunteers. One of our volunteers.
So the family I worked with, can I say their name or not say their name?
Well, they're not here, so you probably... Oh,
no. So the family that I worked with, what the family really liked is they just had a lot of questions about what it's like to be a blind person and what expectations to have for their child. So that's one thing that we would talk... I talked to the student, too, but that's one thing the mom and I talked about a lot. Like, we talked about riding bikes and... all sorts of different stuff, and cooking and swimming. So I think that family said they really liked the mentor part of the program, and they was when it goes back in the person that could stay as part of the program somehow.
Yeah, that's great, because that's why it's so important for kids and parents to get to know some blind people as mentors. You know, because oftentimes families really haven't had a chance to get to know a blind adult.
All right.
Well, Maurice.
Okay.
I think,
okay. Maurice?
Yes. Okay. This program, now, what when you work with these students, you working with them with Braille?
The BELL stands for Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning. So mm-hmm. the idea is to do some Braille immersion with kids over the summer to supplement and encourage what they're learning at school. It's very Braille oriented through lots of different activities.
And how would one, if I would be interested in doing something like that, working with, you know, how would a person get involved in something like that?
Talk to me, afterwards, because we will be planning for next summer and we'll be looking for mentors.
All right.
Okay.
Denise, Kathy, Randall had a comment.
Okay. This is it. Kathy.
Okay.
Is going to be the last comment in this area because we do have to move.
Unmute yourself, Kathy. If you can unmute yourself.
Okay, so she's not unmuting herself. And, well, Kathy?
Can you unmute that?
Well, I think we will have to wait for Kathy's question for another time.
Do we have time for door prizes or not?
Not yet.
Okay.
I was just about to say, we have another half hour of programming, which should go pretty quickly. We will have a couple things at the end, so please stay tuned. I think Miss Ellen has several door prizes she would like to give away, and you must be present to win. Plus, we will have an opportunity for those of you who registered your telephone numbers to vote. We will have an important question for you so that you can practice voting. But before we do all of that, the next two people that I would like to recognize, and this may be of interest to parents, is Elizabeth Sprecher, who attended Blind Inc. this past summer, and she wants to talk about how that experience built her confidence. And with her is Jennifer Kennedy, who is the executive director at Blind Inc. So Elizabeth and Jennifer, if you could both raise your hand so that we can... Okay, so they both have raised their hands. So Pam, if you could unmute them. I think Pam has sent out the invitations.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Elizabeth.
And good Jennifer. Afternoon.
Hey, there we go. All right, so take it away, you two.
Madam President and fellow Federationists, it is a pleasure to be back in Illinois, regardless of whether that's from my office here at the Pillsbury Mansion in Minneapolis. We had a very exciting summer. It's been an unusual summer, as you've heard from some of our earlier presenters, but that also means it's time for innovation. And Elizabeth Sprecher was able to come to Minneapolis and participate in our college prep. What we decided to do this year, rather than hosting a totally separate program, is we integrated our college prep students into our traditional adjustment to blindness programming. I dare say that Elizabeth really took us by storm this year. I've been with Blind Incorporated roughly 15 months now, and I'm so glad that Elizabeth is one of the people that I get to have as a success story during my first year. So Elizabeth, could you talk a little about where you're going to school and what you hope to achieve as a college student participating in 3 months of blindness skills program here at Blind Incorporated.
Okay, so I attend Roosevelt University in Chicago, Illinois, and I am studying in the Bachelor's of Musical Arts program with piano performance and creative writing. And my goal for the 3 months that I was at Blinding was to really, was for improvement. I needed to learn, first of all, how to use the computer, how to learn basic travel, just how to learn basic travel skills and like, for example, numbering systems. And I needed to know like JAWS and Mac and any Braille, or if there was anything that I did not learn, and also basic cooking skills. And one of the things that Blind Inc. really helped me with was by me living in an apartment. And when you live in an apartment, you have your kitchen and you're expected to cook and clean after yourself and clean your space. And I mean, I feel like that was something I was already good at when I went there, but I did learn a lot of things when I was there, a lot of things about safety and cleaning and advice. And right now I'm actually using the Zoom on my computer. I can just open it, click on the link, and just join, and just like that. And I felt like I've gotten a lot better at this computer than I thought I ever would. So
we're really glad for that. So the college readiness portion included classes in cane travel, personal management, home management, and our communications, which is where we have Braille and technology looped together. Elizabeth, can you tell me, in your recent days, what parts of technology did you learn and use here at Blind Incorporated that have really helped you succeed in college?
So I brought this laptop. I brought my laptop with me to Blind Inc. because I thought that if I was going to use it in college a lot more, especially with remote and remote learning, then that was the device that I would learn it on. And I thought for me, that was the best way to be able to learn with JAWS on my own laptop, since that's the laptop I would always be using. And I also learned how to use other technology, like my phone, to figure out directions to find a location, or call the number, the transportation, the public transportation number in Minneapolis, for example, to find specific directions to a specific address.
One of your final projects in your technology class was a PowerPoint presentation here at Blind Incorporated. Have you found any transferring of what you learned about PowerPoint here to what you're doing now?
Yes. So I did not know how to even use PowerPoint. I was told that I could not do it because it was a visual thing. And so I just didn't really understand that. And then all of a sudden I got this like document of commands, because by that time I could just open Word documents and just like that. And I looked at the directions. I looked at how a slide worked. I looked at how to switch between slides. And I created one with like a resume, for example. And now that a few weeks ago in one of my classes, I had a creative part of my literature project to do, and I decided to use PowerPoint.
And I know that there's going to be a lot of other opportunities for Elizabeth to do presentations and problem solving along the way. You had an interesting problem that you were concerned about with your training, and it had to do with your major, being a piano major. So what kind of advocacy work did you have to do to make sure that you could continue focusing on that piece of your major prior to coming to training? This is a very unique opportunity for us, because I've not seen a student do this, and it was really neat.
Sorry, can you explain it?
So, but prior to coming to Blind Incorporated, there was a concern that you had about being able to stay up on your musical pieces.
Oh, right.
Your talent. So what kind of advocating did you have to do for yourself prior to coming to training, and how did that turn out?
So I was on the phone with Jennifer Wenzel, and I was reaching out to people at Blind Inc. about, you know, what training would be like. And one of the things I needed at the summer with me being a piano performance major is that I just cannot go 8 to 10 weeks without practicing. That is just like, I just can't let that happen. And so, and I needed to, keep up my skills and, to the best that I could. And so I was really explaining that, and I was saying that I really needed to be able to practice. And so Jennifer was able to help me get a full-size keyboard that I could have in my apartment. And I would practice, like, you know, before training and after training. And it was really nice because I was able to bring my my Braille music with me from home and study that as well when I was there. So it was, I was also doing that on my classes, but it really helped me because I kind of went back to school after and was just really eager to show how much I'd improved. And
we were happy to be able to do that. We want our students to be able to have successes no matter what. And it was funny because it's not a request that I've had before. We have a piano here in the mansion. We were not able to move into the mansion until the week of National Convention. And Elizabeth, we're going to talk a little bit about what it was like to attend virtual convention here in a minute. But part of what we wanted to make sure of was not only did Elizabeth have something that she could practice with at her apartment, but something that was all of hers so that she could keep up with proper sanitation and not have to cross over. There were other pianos that may have been available in a common area, but continuing to follow those guidelines with the coronavirus were really important. And we also didn't have a full-size keyboard, we found out here, of our own. So we rented one, and I'm so glad that you found that to pay off. As a national convention participant, talk about how your virtual convention experience worked here at the center.
So I would say my whole experience this summer was half and half, half remote, half in person, and which is really good because it really, I would say, prepared me for this experience that I have now as a remote learning student. And so it was a lot of classes were held over Zoom for the first half of my training, including the National Convention. And actually before the National Convention, I learned how to use Zoom on the computer. And I was just using it all the time. I would have like a whole bunch of meetings on my computer and on the phone. So I would join multiple meetings at the same time. And the thing about also that I did during National Convention was we would meet at the mansion, or I would practice going to and from the mansion. And I was able to do that. I did it only one time with an instructor, and then the next time I was able to do it all on my own. And so, and it was just, it was amazing to be able to get on that light rail on my own, cross the street, get on that bus, and figure out my directions, because that was one thing that I really needed help with in travel.
You talked about being able to use the right light rail here in Minneapolis. How has your travel changed or improved now that you're back in Illinois?
Since with this remote learning, I managed to take the train, I would say like once or twice to find a destination, but what I really needed was specific directions, and so I asked for them. I got those directions about like go south and north, and like I went home to visit, for example, and I asked my dad for specific directions, and he said turn right and you're going north, or you're going and then be careful because you might run into an escalator going up, and so you have to pass that escalator. I mean, that was like so helpful.
Really being able to have somebody explain something to you, but not have to actually go with you.
Right, over email. So
I was even better over email. Awesome. I have one other question, and I want to make sure that we give the audience an opportunity to ask you questions, because we're right approaching our 10-minute mark, and I like to be cognizant of the time because there's so many good things to talk about here at convention. Elizabeth, you did a lot of work in 10 weeks. What are you most proud of?
I am most proud of my drop-off.
Tell our friends, what is a drop-off? What does that mean?
So a drop-off is where you are under shades, of course, and you go in a car and they take you in the car and they drop you off, and you are literally don't know where you are, and you have to find your way back to the center. So, it was good for me because it, I was actually looking forward to it. I actually asked to do a drop off. like the last week I did it literally the last day of classes. And so I left at about 8:20 in the morning. And then I did not get back until 12:20 in the afternoon. So, it was really fun. I had more fun. I wasn't, as afraid as I thought I would be. I didn't let myself think about that so much, but I just kept walking, and, I was told to only ask one question. So I decided the bus stop because, I knew that from other students in the past use that as their question, and I thought it was such a good idea. So and it was really fun because I thought I was in one location and I felt like I was going in circles, and then I thought I was at a bus station, but then I wasn't because it sounded like a truck and it wasn't really a bus. And so I almost ended up going on the freeway as well, but I made it out. So
Elizabeth and I had a good chuckle about the freeway because it's very obvious once you get to the point where the freeway is, you're like, oh, okay, now that's where I am. Great. I know I need to go the other direction. It was a lot of fun being able to work with Elizabeth and being able to hear from her how things have gone since that time. I want to have a little bit of open interaction if there are questions for us about the college readiness component at Blind Incorporated or other training center questions.
And we can take one or two questions at this point. And if you have questions, please raise your hand. Do not use the chat box because as we've said all day, it's kind of hard. So I see that Jenna has raised her hand. So if Pam could send her an invitation to unmute.
You can unmute yourself, Jenna.
Okay, looks like she has. At least I hear noise. Jenna, have you unmuted? Okay, maybe we can come back. Do we have other questions for Elizabeth or Jennifer? Okay, Sabrina has raised her hand, so.
Sabrina, you can unmute.
Okay, I'm here. So I am contemplating going to A Center. I have not set that in stone yet. But I am also in graduate school as a teacher and have a life. So my question just right now would be just the basic. How long is the regular training program?
It's 9 months.
Of course it is. Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, unless there are any other questions, okay. I think, you know, one of the reasons why I asked Elizabeth to give a presentation, we heard Pam Allen, our national rep, talking about the training centers earlier, but it's really a good way to see practically how going to a training center can help build more confidence of the person that goes and fully embraces the experience, which Elizabeth did. And now she's come back with some additional skills and more confidence in herself. So for that, we have our training centers, and in this case, specifically Blind Inc., to thank for Elizabeth's growth. So with that, I want to thank...
Question?
Who has a question?
This is Jana.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Jana. We were trying to get you to unmute, so go ahead.
My question for you is, I have always wanted to attend Blind Inc., but now I am in a wheelchair. And I was wondering, do you know if they accept people in wheelchairs? And if so, do they have like scholarships that help people?
The answer is yes, we absolutely do work with wheelchair users. I can say that with confidence, all three centers have. Those of us who have multiple stories have elevators on our buildings to accommodate that, as well as our travel instructors and kitchens are set up to be able to work with folks, whether you're in manual or a power chair. As far as funding is concerned, the primary way to do it is through your vocational rehabilitation office. And I will be willing to bet that there's a good advocate here in the state of Illinois that could help work with you to make sure that that is the route that would be best for you to pursue.
Yes, we have done it before. So if you, Jenna, if you are really interested in going, please reach out to us and we will be happy to try to help you. And with that, we're gonna have to conclude this session. Because we are almost done. We have a few more presentations. And I want Debbie Stein, if you could raise your hand so you could be unmuted. Debbie wears so many hats in this affiliate. It's just, you know, amazing. So she's going to come and talk to everyone about our scholarship and our internship program here in the state of Illinois, the opportunities that it provides for young people. So Debbie, the floor is all yours. I know she raised
her hand. Should be able to unmute yourself, Debbie.
Yeah. Debbie, are you able to unmute? She's having trouble.
There you go, Debbie.
Okay, now can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, yes, I kept getting this message that said the host wasn't allowing me to unmute. And then I kept trying to tell you about it, which was pointless because I was muted. So, okay. At the student lunch today, those who attended student luncheon had a chance to meet our four 2020 NFBI scholarship finalists. The scholarship program, I've been involved with it for, close to 30 years now. We provide scholarships to students who are in post-secondary institutions of higher learning. So that could be college, could be graduate school. I imagine it could also be an accredited trade school program. And the students must either reside in or be studying in Illinois and must be legally blind and must be full-time at an accredited college or graduate program. There is also a scholarship that is sometimes given for a student who is working full-time but attending school part-time. That's the only circumstance when we're able to give a scholarship to somebody who is a part-time student. Scholarships are given on the basis of academic excellence and service to the community and leadership potential. Those are the three things that we really look at the most. The scholarship applications will be available, I hope, before the end of the year. And the deadline for applications is March 31st at midnight Central Time. While I'm talking about our state scholarship program, I also want to put in a pitch for the national scholarship program. I very much encourage students to apply for both programs. It increases your chances of winning something. Both programs are very competitive. In the national program, students are competing with blind students from all over the United States plus Puerto Rico. So it is a very competitive program. Students attend the national convention and are mentored at the national convention. It's a really intense experience being a scholarship finalist at the national level. And again, the national scholarship applications will be out, I expect, sometime in December. So you will certainly be seeing more on the listservs and on Facebook about the scholarship applications. And while you have me here, I also want to talk about our internship program, which is something that we do uniquely in Illinois. Not every state has a program like this. We started it about 12 years ago with the idea that blind students going into the workforce often don't have very much on their resume. And one of the first things employers want to know is, well, what have you done? Well, as a blind person, how are you going to do X, Y, and Z? And if you have some hands-on experience, it's a lot easier to answer those questions. So what we do is students find a volunteer placement in some area that interests them, possibly an area of where they have a career interest, and they arrange to volunteer for between 160 and 240 hours. They can spread it out over a long period of time, or they could do it all during the summer. And they are paid a stipend by the NFB of Illinois. So if anyone has any interest in thinking about an internship, please contact me. The internship application is also available. I believe it's on the website, and if not, I can send it to you. It's really a unique opportunity. We've had interns do everything from working in a Montessori school. We had one kid a number of years ago who worked in a shop that sold farm equipment. He was repairing farm equipment and tractors and golf carts. They also serviced golf carts there. We had someone who worked in a veterinarian's office and later got a job there. So it's really wide open opportunity. Okay. Did I have any questions? Am I hearing questions?
Looks like Nellie has her hand up.
Can she be unmuted?
I'm sure Pam is sending her the invitation.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for unmuting me. You might have said this, Debbie, but is the internship opportunities open year-round or just in summer, right?
Year-round. It used to just be summer. Now it's year-round. And also we expanded it so that it is now available to people who may not be students, but don't have much work experience and would like to build their resume.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, is that it, Debbie?
That's it.
All right, thank you very much.